right, into
that ball's hit pretty well to left. Soder's trouble. Watch this one go. Altuve with his third home run of the homestand. And hit number 10 in this same homestand. He makes it 5-0 Astros. Altuve drills one to center field. Back Denzel Clark near the wall. Jumps up. It's gone again. Two for Tuve. His second two home run game in the homestand. And the Astros lead 9-0. Jose Altuve having himself a homestand. Trying to hold up. That's the ball game. Soderstrom strikes out for the fourth time. And the Astros win it 11-1 to get to four games over 500 for the first time in 25.
Hell yeah. Oh yeah. Crank it up, Ben. We did it at 6. We'll do it at 9. Yeah. Four games over 500. As of right now, in 2025, that is enough to dust off Cool and the Gang. Because they've not been four games over 500 yet until last night. 11-1 the final score. I didn't realize Soderstrom struck out four times in that game. Rough night for that dude. Not a rough night for Jose Altuve. It was the opposite. He was on base four times in that game. 4 for 4, two bombs, and he's on fire, Seth. Since you and I took him to task.
Well over 500 in this homestand. I think that Altuve is back. I think he's definitively broken his slump. Does he settle in this year? I think probably somewhere typically where he does settle in around. Really good baseball player.
Yeah, really.
So the big question is, all right, now when Yordan comes back, can we just get old classic Yordan back and we're off to the races, Sean?
That would be
great. We're off to the races, damn it.
That would be beautiful. It's funny. Someone said on the text page, where is it? Have the Astros considered making Altuve the DH and someone else becomes the left fielder? Here's the thing. You're forgetting that Yordan Alvarez, that text almost seems like somebody is forgetting Yordan Alvarez is on the team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, hey, let's make Altuve the DH. Well, there is this guy named Yordan Alvarez who this team is hell-bent on making practically the full-time DH. Occasional games in left field. So, no, Altuve is going to be out there. Once Yordan comes back, Altuve is going to be out there defensively way more often than not. Either at second base or in left field, he's going to be out there. And you know what? So far in left field, it hasn't been terrible out there. It's been okay. It's for Altuve. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, no. There's times where the throw he had home, the nice throw that he made to get Raleigh out at home a few days ago was like the only reason there was a play to be made was because it was Jose Altuve in left field.
Yeah, they challenged
him. They wouldn't have sent him against hardly any other left fielder out there. So there's going to be weaknesses. But, yeah, as long as he's hitting the way he's hitting right now, or that he was early in the season, then that's you're okay with that trade-off. But he's not going to be a full-time DH.
Look, that throw is not going to scare most of the league, but it will keep some third base coaches. I'm like, all right, well, the guy's not a joke in left field. That was a good throw. You know, it was one hop on the money. And he threw out a very slow catcher on the Seattle Mariners. If he had three hopped it, if it had been Chaz's throw on the walk-off play last week, on the sack fly walk-off, I think that was against Tampa Bay, maybe. I forget who that was against. Might have been against Seattle, whatever, where he three hopped it 8 feet to the left of home plate. Like, then you're like, all right, well, but at least, you know, Altuve made a throw that third base coaches at least have to think before sending a really slow player to try to challenge the arm. 12 for 21, 4 home runs, 7 RBIs, 9 runs scored, OPS of 1734. That's what Jose Altuve has done since what some of you think was the ultimate show of disrespect happened, me and Seth leaving him out of the circle of trust, when in fact, all it was A, an appropriate assessment of where he was at as a player at that point, and B, it would appear something that lit a fire under Altuve and is now taking the Astros to heights that they have not seen yet thus far in the 2025 season.
You know, it's if you look at his outs defensively, if you look at his outs above average, you're like, oh, he's at a 1. All right, that's way better. You know, 2023 and 2024, he was in the negatives in outs above average. And then you realize he's at a 1 because he's got 3 outs above average at second base, -2 in left field.
Okay.
So, yeah. As we've noticed, he's looked like a very promising young second baseman when he's played second base this year. He's made some nice plays.
Those are actually really good second base numbers. Look, I'm not saying he's winning a Gold Glove in left field. I'm having a hard time finding times where I'm having a hard time finding instances I can remember where he lost games for them in left field. And let's face it, the first few times he was out there in spring training, it was a circus out there. You know, like he's misplaying fly balls and he's trying to get the ball out of his glove to his throwing hand and it's rolling 10 feet to his right. So that's been good. Altuve's been good. Peña hits another home run. Well on my way to cashing my over 14.5 home run ticket for Peña. I'll take it, even though he hit it to the sliver of the ballpark where there and Tampa Bay's ballpark are the only two stadiums where that would have been a home run.
Yeah.
The bandbox, it is Tampa Bay and Daikin Park, but we'll take it with Jeremy Peña. You raise an interesting point here on Jake Myers. Okay, if they can get an everyday center fielder here that you feel like isn't a hole in the lineup and is giving you good defense, boy, this would be a real find for the Astros 5 years into Jake Myers' career. Why should I feel better about this version of Jake Myers? You know, I'm the Jake Myers skeptic on this show.
I think, yeah, no, and I'll be totally transparent because it's impossible to ignore. You have pointed out, man, Jake Myers this time last year was pretty much the exact same player that Jake Myers is this time of year, statistically. And then Myers just fell off a cliff for the last two-thirds of the season. So I think for me, it's that they made definitive changes in his approach and in his swing that seemed to be yielding the results they wanted. He added the leg kick, and it's just that part of it where he's shown better judgment at the plate, it all seems tied together, including his performance in spring training. The thing that scares me a little bit is there was an article in the Chronicle. Yeah, it was in the Chronicle about like how well he's doing this year and how, you know, the numbers are different than his career. So swinging at pitches outside the strike zone at a rate 7.7% lower than last season.
Okay, that's significant.
Just eight qualified hitters had lowered their year-over-year chase rate by a larger percentage.
Okay.
Like, okay, I like that, but I still don't know. Like, what about this year compared to this time last year? His strikeout rate last year at this time was 19%.
Yeah.
This year it's 17.4%.
Okay.
It's not like he's striking out that much less. His career is 25.1%.
Yeah. As of a couple days ago, he'd only struck out 9 times this month. He struck out 16 times in the big month he had last year in May when he had a 924 OPS, but he was still 16's a bunch. I'm not expecting him to all of a sudden become this great contact hitter, but if he's having more competitive at-bats, and he's just, quite frankly, when he does hit the ball, if he's hitting it harder, I am here to embrace and love Jake Myers. It's just he's, one, over the last few years, not given me that much to love about him, and two, the one time he did give me something to love about him, he betrayed me personally in the worst possible way by having a 586 OPS the remainder of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So fool me once, shame on Jake. Fool me twice, shame on me, I think is how the old saying
You've
goes.
Been burned. You've been hurt before.
I have,
and
man.
You don't want to get hurt again.
I want to love him.
You've built calluses on your soul.
I want to love
him. You're not just going to fall in love with just what any howdy-doody hayseed that falls off a bus from Nebraska.
Yes.
You know? You're like, oh, listen, kid, you're going to have to prove yourself in the big city.
That's right. The chasing balls out of the strike zone thing is big because that was, you know, there's strikeouts and then there's strikeouts where you look like you're just guessing and you're completely overwhelmed up there.
Yeah.
That is something. You convincing me via numbers hasn't pushed me all the way to trust Jake Myers that this will continue, but I'm closer than I was before.
He also talked in that article by Matt Kawahara that he's learned about how pitchers make you adjust.
Yeah.
And that in the past, when they've pushed him into an adjustment period, he's lost focus on some of the basics or some of the things that he should be focused on. So it does sound like he's learned some hard lessons from going through those. It's just it's the old cliche of, oh, pitchers catch on to you. They start, you know, attacking you differently. Then you got to make an adjustment.
Yeah.
He's been through a few cycles of that now that maybe this is the final one.
Yep. Let's hope so, man. I'm here for it. Text messages coming in. This goes back to us playing the Julio Jones audio of him not being able to rewatch the Super Bowl. Still can't watch the U of H NC State championship game, but every year they roll out the highlights during March Madness. That's a good question. I feel like this is right up our alley. Is it wrong that I still hate Jim Valvano, but he's no longer with us? Do you still?
No, that's all right. Yeah. That's because you could separate it. There's sports hatred and then there's others. Yeah. Right. It's not like all of a sudden, if you. This is a judgment I use also when people are old, crotchety people. You know, you tend to think, okay, they're old, give it a break, you know, just be patient. If they were a-holes when they were young adults, and a-holes when they were middle-aged, and then continue to be a-holes when they're senior citizens, they are afforded no extra, there's no generosity in my soul for the grumpy old man who is always a grumpy SMB.
I like that. I think, sir or ma'am, what you're asking is this similar to how Rob Manfred treated Pete Rose, where like, oh, he's dead now, we can reinstate him in baseball. Like, Valvano's dead, I can stop hating him. And I would tell you, no, it's sports hate, just like you said, Seth. This is not, as long as you're not showing up at his you know, descendants'
houses. A 25-year memoriam of his death or
Right. And then spray painting the grave afterwards, like with graffiti and whatnot. Don't do that. But it's okay to sports hate him still. This goes back to our Amen Thompson conversation. To be fair, the whole Rockets offense needs Jesus, and our free throws need as much prayer as we can get. I'm guessing that's a play off the name Amen, I'm guessing, but I would say accurate. They should all be shooting the Kelvin Sampson 150 free throws a day. All of them.
Yeah. Yeah, all that does seem one of the ones that's
fixable.
Despite all of their shooting woes, yes, this you can't accept through from a non-Shaq or Dwight Howard type human being, you can't accept routine 50% free throw shooting.
Yeah, yeah. Survivor is such trash now, y'all need to watch season 20 and 28. Sorry, Pentergast, P-E-N-T-E-R. Sorry you can't spell,
sir. I'm going to get right on that. All right, yeah.
The reason we brought up Survivor.
Trust me. Sorry, Astros, I'm not watching this afternoon. Yeah. I'm going to go watch seasons 20 and 28.
20 and 28. The season thing's been around for damn near 50 years. These are the random two seasons. Now, this seems like a Survivor junkie right here, I would say. The reason we're bringing this up, if you missed it, my daughter's boyfriend, Charlie, is invited back to Survivor to be on season 50. It's like the all-star season. So he was on 46, finished runner-up. People really liked him. And he was really good at the game, too. So he's invited back to play against some of the legends.
So, yeah, as Sean's telling you some news he's excited about, you're showing up and saying, like, that all sucks anyway.
Right.
Yeah, like, what, dude, what the hell are you? What do you like at parties?
Yeah. Must be a whole lot of fun.
Talking about how cool things were in the 70s?
Yeah.
Now this music. You're always complaining about the music that's playing in any given place. Ah! 1974. That was when music stopped being good.
This is the guy who you tell, this texter is the guy that you tell you just got a promotion with a big raise, and he shows you what tax bracket you're now in. You know, like, oh, okay, well, you're in the 33% bracket. Hope you enjoyed being in the 29%, because guess what? That job really sucks. You're going to have to pay more taxes.
Yeah, a lot of extra responsibility. Whoa, I don't know, man. Boy, are you sure you really wanted this?
Random question, does Jose Altuve get to 3,000 hits? I've mashed the numbers on this many times. I think it's going to be close for Jose Altuve. He's somewhere in that 2,300 range right now, or 2,200 hits. You've got the I'm looking it up look on your face right now, Seth, so I trust that's what you're doing.
He's got 2,284 hits.
Okay, so right there, yeah. He's averaging, you know, he used to average over 200 hits a season before he developed all this power. Now he's more of a power guy with about 160, 170 hits. He did have 200 hits, I think, a couple years ago when he was really trucking, I think, in 2023. So he's going to need a good – after this year, let's say he gets to 2,400 hits, somewhere around there. I mean, I think he's going to need 4 years to do it. I guess maybe if he sticks around, that's how many years he'll have left on his contract with the Astros. That would be kind of fun. If his last year is the last year of that deal at age 39, kind of like Biggio, and goes over that 3,000 hit mark, that would be cool. I don't think he needs to get into the Hall of Fame. I wonder if that's why people are asking, why this particular texter is asking that. It is a ticket into the Hall of Fame, but it's not necessary to get in. I think it really helped Biggio get in.
Yeah. For him, I think he's pretty much considered a slam dunk Hall of Famer unless something horrific happens over the next few years.
Yep.
He would need 179 hits per season, including... Well, no, I'm sorry. I messed that up. So he needs, over the course of the next four calendar years, he'd have to get 179. Let's just call it, it's really just a matter of how long he decides to keep playing.
It's going to be close. I think it's going to be really close for Altuve on the 3,000 hits. we left you out of our circle. You got, hey, you guys, we left you out of the circle of trust, Altuve. When did that happen that we left Altuve out of the circle of trust? I think is what they're trying to ask. It was last
the
Thursday.
The day before the A's series started.
The day before the Mariners series started. The day of the Mariners series. Day of the Mariners series beginning. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you here on a Wednesday. All right, the criteria of being the face of a league. A take on ESPN yesterday. This might have take-a-mania potential as well. Kendrick Perkins on why Anthony Edwards cannot be the face of the NBA right now, and it has nothing to do with how good he is at basketball. That is coming up next. All right, face of the league. For whatever reason, that's been a big deal lately, man. WNBA, Caitlin Clark, is she the face of the league? It's always a topic in the NBA playoffs, especially now that we're into conference finals where there's going to be a new champion. There's going to be a new superstar who gets inside the velvet rope of champions in the NBA. So who is the face of the league? I do feel like Anthony Edwards' name has been brought up a lot over the last, not just this season, Seth, but last year they made the conference finals. So they've done that for the second year in a row. He's a spectacular player. He's got all the physical traits, the explosiveness, the things you can put on a poster and on sizzle reels that pop for a face of the league type player, Anthony Edwards. We can all agree on that. He's really, really good. And yet there's a bunch of guys in this postseason now who I think you could make arguments for as well. LeBron is probably to a degree still the face of the league, but he's 40 years old. That's not going to last forever. Kendrick Perkins had a very interesting criteria when he took Anthony Edwards kind of off of the pedestal of face of the league. Here's old Kendrick Perkins, old Perk, his criteria. Why Anthony Edwards cannot be the face of the league right now?
Here's the bigger picture, right? You got to check the boxes when you're the face of the league. Yes, we know you got to have your signature shoe. You're going to be in commercials. You're going to have the highlights. You got to have the game. But you know what else you got to have? You got to be a role model, right? And things outside the lines matter. Now, if you go down the list of all the faces of the league in the history of the game, you look at Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Shaq, LeBron, Steph. What did they all have in common? While they was playing in the league, they all were family men. They all were married with kids. And if you think that don't play a role as far as the role model, this is facts. This is not something that I'm making. Hold on. But this is not something that I'm making up. Now, what happened to them after they retired? That's their business. But while they are playing or was playing, they were family men, married with kids.
All right, so married, Seth, married with kids. He's emphatic about this.
Yeah, that's the thing. Part of that is going to be the guys who are the face of the league are also guys who have a long stretch of awesome play. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, at some point, those guys are going to be married while they're playing. But for whatever it's worth, Michael Jordan got married in 1989. Okay. What year did he become the face of the league?
I would say before that. He was, he became a champion 2 years after that. Michael Jordan is the probably the rare exception who almost became the face of the league within a year or two after he got there with Nike and with the shoes and everything else.
Yeah, the shoe deal made it just a completely different sensation than anything we've ever seen. Maybe a guy who, before LeBron at least, was the face of the league to the most extreme degree that we've probably ever seen.
Yeah.
And I would say no. Given what Michael Jordan was, he was way more the face of the league than LeBron Jordan was, LeBron James was.
Yeah.
Just because there was so much hyper focus on it.
Yeah.
So, and he was on that path before he got married and had kids and all that. So I reject it on the basis of the absolute best face of the league wasn't actually married when he became the face of the league.
Well, it's funny. Like these are all guys who ultimately had some family issues going, you know?
Yeah, like, right. Yeah. It's like, hey, they got to at least publicly put on a picture of a happy life and whatnot.
Yeah. Like in retrospect,
One of Larry Bird's children was growing up unknown to him.
Yeah.
Somewhere else in America.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had a bastard child out there somewhere.
So you got that. Like Magic had to retire for a while because he had HIV because he was partying with other women, you know, like it was that weren't his wife. Kobe. Okay. I mean, Kobe, Colorado, you know, I'll leave it at that with Kobe. Like, you know, Kobe had a major issue off the court. I tend to disagree with the notion. I think the examples he brings up is almost a counter argument to what he's trying to say. Like, these are all guys who were faces of the league who I think had a lot of qualities to them where they weren't role models at all, you know?
Right, right. I think it's just more of a coincidence, or at least there is a connection there probably between the guys that have some kind of stability in their life and what have you. And over time they're also like great players. But if you just play long enough in the league, I disallow this based on the stupidity of it.
Well, it's okay. And yes,
plus, I like that he's kind of arguing about it almost like it's an actual designation or something.
Face of the league. There's check marks.
The NBA is going to actually designate who the face of the league is.
I submitted my application for face of the league and I've not heard back yet. Can you please get back to me? I think too, I mean, we're talking specifically about Anthony Edwards, who reportedly recently, he has a kid with a baby mama, a new baby, who he is not into this baby mama at all, and he went to court and got it approved where he can just scratch out the 18 years worth of child support up front so he never has to see her again. I'm like, okay, well, that's, I don't know if that's the healthiest environment for that kid to eventually be brought up in, but that's something. And the other thing I think with Anthony Edwards, this is where I always cringe a little bit about him being the face of the league, and it's a little thing, but he does interview, like, he can't stop cursing in interviews. Like, he drops F-bombs and S-bombs all the time just sitting at his locker and stuff like that. And it's not that I've got these virgin ears where I'm offended by it, but there is a threshold for being the face of a league where you can't just be sailor cussing out there all the time.
Right.
You know, like, he's very unvarnished when it comes to his delivery, I'll say.
We have to retroactively erase Larry Bird as one of the faces of the leagues based on Kendrick Perkins' criteria, because he was married from 1975 to 1976, which was right around his rookie year or so.
No, that was in high school. He came into the league in 79-80.
Was it 79 or 80? He was married in 1975.
No, no, no. I'm saying he came into the NBA in like 1980 or 1979.
Right, I know, and I'm saying that it says he was married from 1975 to 76.
Yeah.
He married at his high school sweetheart.
That's what I'm
something.
Saying. Like, it sounds like he was in high school when that happened. Holy crap. And that must be...
Yeah, his first year was 79-80.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Well, so he was, and then he didn't get married again until 1989. So he was the face of the league one of the faces of the league. He kind of shared it with Magic for a good duration of time where he wasn't married with kids, Kendrick.
I'm a little disappointed you're leaving this one on the table. You just put that on a softball for yourself. Larry Bird married in high school, 75-76. He is from French Lick, Indiana, Seth.
The floor is yours.
The floor is yours.
It was his. Married his high school sweetheart in 1975.
May or may not
be his cousin.
The marriage
was a short one, lasting less than a year, and they divorced. However, Janet did give birth to a daughter/cousin of his in 1977.
Set that at the cousin. We need to be clear about that.
Daughter/niece.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Here was Stephen A. Smith's reply to Kendrick Perkins.
First of all, let's be fair here. Here's what I mean by that. I get where you're coming from, and I understand that. When you talk about being the face of the league, it's not just about your game on the court. It's about what you do off the court. I think that we ain't gonna get into anybody's business. We don't do that on this show.
But what we
will say is that sometimes you've had people in the modern era who've made mistakes because in the age of social media and beyond, fellas, they put too much of their business out there. They talk a little bit too much, and you let people in to stuff that they don't need to be. It ain't none of our damn business, okay? But when we were talking about Crown and Ant-Man, we were just talking basketball.
Okay, you're just talking basketball. Well, we don't get into people's business on this show.
Yeah, not on this
first,
show.
Not on First Take, man. Take that crap somewhere
draw
else.
Draw out a feud between you and LeBron James about his son and how he's handling his son.
Where did that come from?
You don't talk about it on this show.
when did First Take become holier than thou? Like, you know, that is your show. You get into people's business. That is what you do. That's why you got
face of the NFL right now. How long can Pat Mahomes credibly claim to be the face of the league? Not that he claims it, but I would say Pat Mahomes is the first one I think of. He's front and center in everything. He's got a relatively wholesome image and all that.
Kisses his wife on the sideline before every game.
He's married to his high school sweetheart. He's Kendrick Perkins' dream example of a face of the league.
Yeah.
He'd probably do with a lot of do without some of the public drinking, but other than that, there you go.
I feel like Mahomes feels authentic to me. You know, like
he seems like a regular guy.
Yeah,
in a weird way. Even when it comes to his family issues, my dad drinks a little much sometimes.
But Kendrick Perkins invoking those. First of all, I think the notion that you have to be a family man with kids to be the face of the league, I think is at best overblown. At worst, he's just way off base.
Shohei Ohtani's got a vow of celibacy.
That's okay. Face of baseball.
He's the face of MLB. Yeah.
But my point with basketball was like him rattling off those list of names, and as he's rattling them off, I'm like, man, these guys were all flawed off the court to some degree. Not to the degree it offended me or anything like that. And I don't really care about the married with kids when it comes to face of the league. It's a subjective argument. That's not part of my criteria. But if you're trying to make that argument, like you're bringing up those names, I'm like, all right, what you're telling me is I should be skeptical of anybody who's getting brought up about that. Like LeBron is probably the one, like outwardly, I can't think of a time LeBron's had any sort of off the court stuff like we had with Kobe and Michael with the gambling and everything else. Magic, you know, he lived a life off the court, all that stuff. Like LeBron in this age, you can say a lot of things about LeBron. You can disagree with some of the things he says. He gets annoying sometimes, I think. But he's outwardly at least, a very loyal husband who's a really good father to his kids, you know? So that's what's interesting to me. Like LeBron and Steph are probably the two examples he brought up that might be the best examples of that. And they're doing it in an age where everything is way more out there and scrutinized than the age of all those other guys.
But again, pointing to the stupidity of Kendrick Perkins' point is LeBron got married in 2013.
Yeah.
Like he's somehow not the face of the league already.
Yeah.
He had been the face of the league for a long,
long time. Yeah.
It's such an absurdly stupid take that backed up by no evidence whatsoever.
Yep. Text message just goes back to Altuve. He shouldn't need 3,000 hits for the Hall of Fame, but I feel like he will need it to counteract the buzzer BS. I think don't conflate society at large with the baseball writer and the Hall of Fame selection community. Now, trust me, I'm not saying they're perfect at all by any means, and they've got very much a gatekeeper mentality. But from all the ones I've been reading as we've gotten further and further away from the sign-stealing scandal, first of all, I don't think there's any writers out there with a brain that think Jose Altuve had a buzzer on him. I don't think you need to worry about the buzzers when it comes to the people picking the Hall of Fame. I think what you do probably need to worry about is it going to take him a while to get in? Because this is going to be the writers' chances to invoke some sort of punishment on the Astros and their fans by not keeping Jose Altuve out like they kept Pete Rose out, or keeping Barry Bonds out, or Roger Clemens, but keeping him out for, you know, 2 or 3 years longer than he should be kept out. You know, like, oh, he's not going to be a first ballot. No.
The big thing is, I think people inside baseball generally know, and they made it tougher to be a voter. For a while there were a lot of people voting on the Hall of Fame that didn't really pay attention to baseball at all. Where now the people voting on the Hall of Fame, I think, they know that story and they know the circumstances. And I don't think, you know, taking their cues from people around baseball on other teams, nobody holds it against Jose Altuve.
No, I'm with you on that.
And they also know, and the difference between a lot of people like that cover the sport versus the average fan around the league is that they know that it was just 2017 and that it wasn't so many people still believe that it was 2017 through 2019. And they think that the buzzer story is 100%. They don't even question it in their minds. It's just a fact in their mind that Jose Altuve wore a buzzer. I would submit that there's probably zero people in baseball that actually know that, like the actual plugged in people that actually believe that.
Yep. Face of the league must be known by one name: Magic, Bird, Dr. J, LeBron, etc. Well, that's a better. Again, that's a better. To, that's a better criteria than having to be married with kids.
Right. Yeah. Like face of golf, Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
It was a long time before he met his wife and married, and then then something happened. I don't remember what happened
with
the end of
that
marriage.
Stuff happened to him. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, did Tiger stop being the face of golf even through any of that? No. Yeah. Stop it.
Yep.
Let's be serious.
Dude, he still is to a degree. I mean, not even being able to play, he's still the face of golf to a degree. All right, Payne and Pendergast.
Larry, was Larry Bird? Larry, I guess if you say Larry, it just doesn't have the same cachet as a Magic or a Tiger.
Yeah, this guy said Bird.
If you're going to say Larry Bird.
This guy says Bird.
Oh, Bird.
Bird is the one word.
If he's known by his last name. See, Pat Mahomes, you say Mahomes.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of athletes you can say by their last name.
It's got to be by their first name, I think, if it's a one word thing. It's either their first name or a nickname, you know? That's what it's got to be.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, maybe Pat Mahomes. If you just say Pat automatically. I think more of the SNL character before I think of Pat Mahomes.
Yes. All right. Payne and Pendergast. A lot of people, there's at least one person agreeing with Perk. We'll get to some of your texts. 713-572.
What did he say about the vast, all of this evidence that says that it doesn't matter?
We're up against it. We'll read it when we come back. We'll get to that. OTAs started 9 minutes ago for the Texans. What are we expecting to hear out of OTAs? What do we want to hear? What are we expecting to hear out of OTAs today? We will have that for you coming up next. Let me clean a couple things up here. As a texter points out, and texter, I'm trusting you that you're right on this, but says that, yeah, Anthony Edwards scratched out the entire child support check for 18 years for his kid that he had with a baby mama, but that he is, according to this texter, he's looking to get custody of the kid. Okay, well, that's good. He wants to be in the kid's life. I think that's very, very good. Does that make him the face of the league? I mean, I don't know that that matters for face of the league. The other thing pointed out is when I gave LeBron props, which doesn't happen a ton on this show, but I gave LeBron props because he's been married to the same woman for all these years and he's been a really good father to his kids, all those things. Several people pointing out on the text page, his name just came up in the Diddy trial, Sean.
Right. Which is goes to our point against Kendrick Perkins, who claims that the face of a league has to be married with children. It's no, you have to be good enough player that by and large, any of those little things kind of get swept under the
overlooked.
Rug. Yes. That's how good a player you are.
Yeah.
Whether you're a family man or not, whether it's all a charade or not, then it doesn't matter if you're good enough to be the face of the league.
Yep.
Then all of these other things just become little smatterings around the interwebs.
Yeah.
Like the Brett Favre documentary. You got all these people from Green Bay on there saying, like, nope, wasn't a surprise to us that he sent pictures of his junk to... unsolicited. He's been acting a fool for years.
Yep. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. All right. So OTAs should be underway. 9:30 was the start time. I'm guessing they're not doing them outdoors because it is nasty. There's lightning out there and whatnot. So I'm going to guess that they're doing them in the bubble right now. Of the things that we expect to hear after today's practice set, the questions that we have, what we're hoping to hear. I think I would guess that for most of the people listening right now, it's stuff on the offensive side of the ball with Nick Caley.
No, I think
the offensive
100%.
Line. Yeah,
as soon as they line up, which is probably happening right about now, the first time they do an offensive drill, 11-on-11, the offensive line configuration is, that's going to be much retweeted and commented upon.
Yes,
and somebody's going to be asked about it. Afterwards, and I'm guessing D'Amico is going to be asked about it. D'Amico will say something along the lines of, you can't read into these. This is just going to change from day to day, et cetera, which is very true. There is genuine competition on the offensive line, and whoever they choose on day one, it's going to be guys who are veterans and on the team already or what have you. But the depth charts are definitely very fluid.
This is
right
the
now.
Total opposite of last year. You know what I mean? Like, this is like last year, the offensive line, they had it in ink. Starting training camp. They shouldn't have. They shouldn't have. It should have been competitive. But last year, it was, you know, especially by the time training camp rolled around, I don't remember what it looked like in OTAs, but in training camp, it was Juice Scruggs at center, Kenyon Green at left guard, Shaq Mason at right guard, and your two tackles were Titus Howard at right tackle and Laremy Tunsil working out on another field the entire time with a training staff member at left tackle. That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
there
was it.
There was no competition at all, and you've got the exact opposite situation this year. Yeah. I don't think anybody is secure in their job.
No.
If they don't prove it during camp.
They're definitely indoors.
Titus is the one guy that he doesn't have to prove it in camp, but if somebody there, but it's not 100% guaranteed that he's going to have a starting spot.
They so Aaron Wilson is at the practice. Aaron Wilson tweeted out a video. He's indoors. He's got about a 30-second video that's just sort of panning the indoor facility there. Everybody's just kind of stretching in the video, but it is, the camera does get stuck on Blake Fisher for a good long time here at the end. Like, Blake Fisher is kind of standing. He's not stretching. He's standing up. So, he's got his jersey on. He looks a little thicker. He looks a little bigger, Seth. He looks through the torso.
In a good way or in a bad way?
In a good way.
Your midsection.
In a good way. I will admit, it's not the ideal angle nor amount of time for me to gander at him and take a look. But he looks a little.
We've been wondering
thicker.
If he's going to put on some of his adult weight and adult muscle mass.
Yeah.
When you said he looks thicker, you pointed right to your midsection. I was like, well, that doesn't sound good at all. Discovered beer.
Not the stomach, just like the torso. He looks like a bigger individual. Yeah, that's all. Okay. It's not bad. It's not bad. We'll see. But we'll be getting a lot of reports from out there today. Offensive line, definitely a big one. Damian Pierce, is he going to be able to capitalize on getting some reps? It looks like Joe Mixon's going to miss OTAs. He had a walking boot on recently.
Yeah, and Aaron Wilson had reported that on his YouTube channel that Joe Mixon may have been in a walking boot or wasn't a walking boot, but whatever he's dealing with, I'm not going to worry about it at this point because he's a veteran running back and they're going to be as careful as possible with him for any little thing. But I'm not – just fresh off the heels of Christian Harris having a minor strain at the beginning of training camp last year and then disappearing off the face of the earth for 3 months.
Yeah.
I'm not going to act like it's completely nothing. Mm-hmm. I would prefer for Joe Mixon to be feeling better than he's ever felt before.
Yes, that's what I was hoping for.
I don't know how much – now, the other big thing is from OTAs, we're not going to be able to tell much about guess what? Somebody's going to note that, wow, Damian Pierce looks really quick this year, because that's what they do every year.
Every year
since year one. They'll say, wow, he looks a little sleeker. He looks a little faster. All right, great. There's no pads on. I don't need Damian Pierce to be a scat back all of a sudden. I need him to break tackles and bust heads. If anything, I want to hear that he looks a little logy and fat out there. That'll tell me that he spent his offseason the right way.
I just want him to look like, and I don't know we'll glean any of this from OTAs, but ultimately when the pads go on, I just need him to look like he knows what he's doing. I just need him to look comfortable in the offense again. I don't care how he gets it done. My guess is he looks more comfortable doing what you just said, cracking skulls and running over people, than he does, you know, kind of being patient, running to the left, planting a foot, and then finding a seam to run through there. He's more of a north-south guy. So,
yeah, Bobby Sloak's offense with Damian, it felt like you were trying to they're trying to do trim carpentry with a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
It's just different. You need a different tool for this. This is not what sledgehammers are for.
Yeah,
outside zone is not his friend.
No.
All right? Get him to work on a demo project.
It's funny you mentioned Slowick. Derwin texts in, they'll put in work to not blame Bobby Slowick. I think the questions have probably moved beyond, you know, what happened last year. I can tell you right now, if they ask questions about last year, the answer is going to be, we're all about 2025. We're not looking back. We're moving forward. So I don't know that they need to put in work to not blame Bobby Slowick. I think if they get asked about anything that has to do with last year, it's like we're on to 2025. That's how it is every year with these guys, you know.
Yeah, the biggest thing I'll be tempted to draw conclusions based on just what the offense looks like, what plays they're running and calling. That's a stupid thing to do, and yet we'll do it anyway. The biggest thing I'd like to see is that CJ have more command and time at the line of scrimmage. They don't look like this team that's just struggling to get out of the huddle, get up, and run whatever play was called. Mm-hmm. That CJ genuinely has more command over the entire offense.
Yeah, that'll be interesting for sure. Multiple people saying Kendrick Perkins just won the number one contender match for Take-A-Mania this week, LOL. I will not be here for that. I'm going to be out Thursday and Friday, so that's up to Seth.
I have to organize it?
That's up to Seth. It's up to you. I'm just saying the people want Perk.
When do we do Take-A-Mania?
Friday at 9 o'clock.
What else do I need to know about?
About your show that you're on? I think that's the only benchmark you need to know about.
All right, Ben. Ben's on it.
The look on Ben's face.
Just remind me, Ben. Yeah. Remind me tomorrow night. Like, hey, Seth, take a mania.
There's tomorrow. A few. I don't know that you'll need to go finding any on the internet. There's a few that we've had this week already that'll play just fine against old Andrew Perloff.
Yeah. So give our listeners the rundown of your vacation so they can enjoy it with you.
Yeah, so we leave tomorrow, Amy and I do, and we're flying up to Boston. We're flying into Boston. We are going up to New Hampshire to go see Zac Brown Band in New Hampshire. Ooh. Nice outdoor amphitheater kind of place. And the weather's really nice up there. The lows are in like the high 50s and low 60s right now, so it's nice and
bundle
cool.
Bundle up under a blanket, you and Amy.
It'll be great. Yeah, it'll be great. We're going to hit Vermont because Amy hasn't been to Vermont. We're trying to get Amy up to 49 states so we can both close out the United States in Alaska together probably in a year or so. She's only got 8 states left, so 3 of them are Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine. So we're going to hit all those on this trip. Going to the concert in New Hampshire, going to Portland, Maine, highest bars per capita of any city in the United States. So we'll make sure, we'll confirm that that's the case by going to all of them. And then Sunday we're coming back down to Boston. We're going to have dinner. We're supposed to have dinner with my daughter and her boyfriend, Charlie, but he is now on a plane to go film Survivor 50.
He's off to Fiji.
He's up, yeah. So I think that's where it is. So, yeah, like, so he won't be there, but we're having dinner, me, Amy, Judy, and Charlie's parents. So we will all celebrate Charlie while we are there. And then we're going to going to a Red Sox game on Monday. We're back on Tuesday. We're going to a Red Sox game on Monday.
So wow.
Yeah.
That's a jam-packed vacation, man.
It's going to be fun.
I'm tired already.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's short drives. That's the thing. Everything's like up there, everything's like 2-hour drive, you know. It's 2-hour drive to dip into Vermont, 2-hour drive to Boston, back down from Maine. Everything, you know, you can
when you guys finish off visiting all 50 states, you should drive through Canada to Alaska just in case, you know. It's yeah, just in case all of a sudden one day there's an extra one big huge star on
oh,
the
oh, big state up there. Yeah. In case they get annexed. We've been to that state as well.
You're not going to have to go right, yeah.
That's good, preemptive. Yeah.
You better pop into Canada just to be safe.
Yeah.
That was the joke. That
I know.
I just wanted to make sure that was
clear.
That
was the exact thing I said.
Can I ask you, fine fellas, appreciation to D&M Auto Leasing for allowing us to jump in
Yeah, thank you.
Here.
Yeah, yeah. I would like to give my appreciation to D&M Auto Leasing as well for the cross.
What constitutes checking off a state? Like, what can you do in order? Because, you know, there's people that, you know, stop in the airport. Maybe we'll amble around outside of the airport for a little bit. What are we counting as? You have been and visited this state.
I will say for
with Sean and Amy, it's clear that they've had sex in that state.
Some were quicker than others. I mean, we were only in West Virginia for 15 minutes, but, you know, it's...
Boots outside the airport.
It's definitely... Well, we drive through all
of
them. No,
I'm saying, but like what he's talking about?
Yeah, airports don't count for us.
Yeah, you got to put boots outside
airports
the airport.
Airports don't count. No, it's what Seth said. Sex in all of them. Yeah, no, it's... no,
I like
it's not
that.
It. No, it depends. I would say
713-572-4610 if you want to help me check off some states.
Yeah, For us, for most of them, it's been we've stayed there, we've done something that's indigenous, you know, an activity that's part of the state, or been to a landmark or whatever, or stayed multiple days there. The floor is probably states like Delaware, where that was just driving through there to get from Philly to Baltimore, and it's like it's like in Wayne's World, they said that about Delaware. They were joking about all the places they were going to go. We're going to go to France. We're going to go to Mount Rushmore, and we're going to go to Delaware. Yay.
I might have to change your standards on that, and that you have to at least get your feet out, touch the ground.
Yeah.
We did talk
to locals.
And we did. No, I said Delaware was just passing through, but in all of them, we got out, took a picture, you know, like in front of something. We take the picture of welcome to of all the states we go to.
Because the one thing that's happened since GPS became so essential is that I do feel I kind of regret sometimes. I'll drive 2,000 miles and I won't know where I am the entire time. I don't know what state I'm in when I'm getting gas
that's
or whatever.
Scary.
I'm just not paying attention.
Yeah.
I'm just on the road and driving to wherever they tell me to turn.
I'm just
next.
Sitting here thinking if I followed Seth's parameters about sex in every state, I'd be in a lot of trouble.
Oh, yeah?
Because I've been to like
in 40, what way?
I've been to like 46 or 47, but only like 6 with Jan.
Okay.
Well,
yeah, I mean, she don't understand. You got to take this off.
A lot of
and kids, earlier this show, guys, we were talking about how 47.8% of American adults have herpes.
Yes.
John Lopez is one of the big reasons why.
Yeah, we actually,
it used to be confined to a pretty small area, and then Lopez got a car.
Probably, Reggie, to answer your question, the floor for what we've constituted as a state. Because, like, even in Rhode Island, we got out and saw the breakers, and we had lunch on the water. We were only there for a day, but whatever. We didn't even stay there. But it was probably West Virginia, which actually, if you go to the right place, is a beautiful state.
We've
been to the Greenbrier. It's awesome. I would love to. But just the way our trip was going, we didn't have time. So we literally went through this little nub of West Virginia where you kind of cross through there. And it's like, I think Wheeling's up there. Mm-hmm. So we just stopped and got out and took a selfie in front of a Walmart in West Virginia. I felt like that captured West Virginia as
well.
That's
actually a historical landmark.
Yeah, the Walmart might be.
By the way, I cannot in good conscience bury the question of the day.
No, we're going to ask you.
Because this is a Sean Pendergast-inspired question of the day.
Oh, wow.
Which reality show would you do best in based on Charlie getting into Survivor 50?
Yeah.
And I kind of want to add a caveat where, like, once you pick your show, what Houston athlete would do the best on it as well? Because I kind of want to, for me, I don't know why. I don't think it'd be the best. I'd be best at it either. Yeah. But I always immediately think of Amazing Race.
Yeah. That was one of mine.
I would not be good at it. Yeah. I know that for certain.
Oh, but it's deductive reasoning. It's adapting. It's, you know, knowing different countries. Mine is Chopped.
So like a reality
show. I don't believe you.
Oh, I could kill it.
Chopped. Oh, I think you could cook. Don't get me wrong. Like all these special, you know, additives. That
every
you
time
throw
I watch
here.
That show and they open the box, I'm like, okay, I would make this with that, and I'd make that with
mine
that.
Mine would be the South Korean sensation on Netflix. At least in America, it's on Netflix. Physical 100. Now all those shows, at some point the big guys kind of get you get screwed. Like, once the endurance becomes a factor, that's where you get rolled out. But that's a show where you can just win with brute force a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So I would do a few cycles of steroids and get on that. Represent America well over there.
That's Googled that real quick, and all I see is dudes cut up like a pack of ground beef. Go ahead, do that.
The guys that ultimately end up winning look like, you know, CrossFit type dudes or whatever. But the big guy, there's a place for the big guys.
Reality show you would be good on. See, these reality, like, I would suck on Dancing with the Stars. I would be terrible on The Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be good on The Bachelorette. I could be one of the bachelors going after The Bachelor. I would be a bad bachelor. Like, the one that has the 25 women coming at him.
Yeah.
I would be bad at that. Like, the breakups, I would not be good at. I would be good at getting broken up with. You know what I mean? Like, I think I would be.
And you could make them laugh.
I think I would. The very first season of The Bachelor, they had this one bachelor who stuck out like a sore thumb named Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And became.
He would be a Bob.
He became a bachelor. That's what happens on that show a lot, is they take one of the guys or gals who got eliminated from the season of Bachelor or Bachelorette, and they make them the next single person on there. This guy he stuck out like a sore thumb. He was like kind of overweight, he's a good looking guy, but not like these oily bohunks that were on there.
Yeah.
But he was hilarious. And that
oily
got him.
Bohunks.
Yeah. It's from 16 Candles. Yeah.
I love that. You know what? I'm picturing, you know, it's not like the Silver Bachelor or anything. It's the normal version of The Bachelor, and it's you, present day you, versus like all these 24-year-old dudes.
Every 25 guys that look like Cheetah Kraft's husband.
No, but the thing is, if you make it past the first round, all of a sudden people are going to be nervous because maybe she's into older men. All of a sudden you've got an advantage.
Everybody fetishes over something.
Yes.
Something.
Yes.
Somebody's something out there.
Oh, yeah.
In the Bachelor.
The key moment where you go over the top and win her over is where you're like, honestly, my sex drive isn't that high anymore. And she's like, oh. Thank God. I don't have to fake like I am with all these other people.
This is looking like it was going to be a lot of work. This is a good idea. Now all I have to do is clear it with Amy, and I'm good to go.
All right. Seth, is Sean conniving enough to be like on Big Brother?
Oh, Sean totally is. I would be really bad at the conniving part of
That's
stuff.
Why I asked
I would
him.
Be awful at any kind of... I'm bad at that kind of stuff. I cannot betray somebody's confidence. Where's Sean?
Whereas Sean,
it's true. Don't tell me anything.
Yep.
Oh, this is a good one. I like this.
I feel we need a 6'10" Family Feud team, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've applied for Family Feud multiple times.
And really? Can I be a part of your family?
Yeah. Well, they do have rules on this.
Ah.
Now, you and I, they might look at us and go, "Yeah, I could see that." You know, same family and everything.
I just like the comedy of it. Like, it's you, your wife, your children.
Reggie.
It's just like. and my coworker.
It's my nephew.
So we need to make some.
My nephew.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, if game shows counted as reality shows, there's a ton of them I think I would be good at.
No, just reality.
Just reality shows. Yeah, so I'll go with I would be good as one of the either Big Brother conniving, as Seth points out, or one of the 25 bachelors trying to be just different from all of the just face men.
Let me tell you about John Gruden.
Yeah. Or just do impersonations of people.
You heard be extra schmaltzy, though. Like, dad jokes all over the place. Dude. Waka waka.
Impersonations of people she has no idea about. Hey, listen, Catherine, let me tell you something about being a bachelorette and love. It's about a love, a trust, and a commitment. Like, you're lisping all over. You're spraying all over me right now. What is it?
You open with your Harry Carey.
No, that's my lead in. Like, this is how this guy talks. All right, we are done. Seth, antibodies, and have a good few days with it's B. Scott the next couple days.
Hey,
antibodies. Bodies and a $39 tiny tube of Abreva to you.
Thank you. Gotta listen on the
That's
rewind.
Right.
Okay, he's
That's
not
right.
giving that to me because I need it. It was a topic earlier in the show.
Sure.
Ooh, you're one of the lucky 52%.
I am, actually. Yeah.
There's no shame in it.
As far as I know. As far as I know.
You don't have to hide it. You can be...
Why are y'all looking at me like
it's a safe space.
Yeah. No, it's not me. All right. We are done. We're out of time. I will see all of you next week. You're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM, HD2, Houston. An Odyssey Sports Station, Reggie Atatula, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, also part of the 52.2%, all three of them.